Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a program dedicated to biblical truth and prophecy featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. The broadcast date for this program is May 10, 2012. Saints, the world is in great turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And I do, because I am serious, I also give you my cell phone number in case of an emergency. Just like today, before I got ready to get on to do this program, I noticed that I have a text message from somebody that said they found our podcast on the internet. They stayed up all night, listened to them, and now they're worried about the end times and want to know how to get the message out to their family. I'll call him back, but you can call me on my cell phone too if it's an emergency. 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. And if you are, a lot of you are listening on satellite radio, but if you can get on the internet or if you're listening on the internet, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Well, of course, you got to put that www before it. But if you just Google prophecyhour.com, it would pop up. Or if you Googled Pastor Dan Catlin, it would also pop up. Anyway, let's have a prayer, and then we'll bring on tonight's guest. By your request, you wanted him to come back and finish the story. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray, Father God, I just pray that radio goes tonight according to your will, and not my will, and not necessarily the will of our guest tonight. But we also ask that you give us all ears in which to hear the truth and understand the truth. Amen and amen. Well, a few weeks ago on this program, we started to talk about black holes and the bottomless pit, although that's not what this presentation is going to be called. It's going to have stargates in it, too. We'll ask him about that in a minute. But we just got started, and we had to stop because we ran out of time. When I posted that program in the archives, I asked folks if they wanted to hear the rest to email me back. Well, here we are, so I can guess you can see that answer was yes. So tonight, I have back on with me my friend, Apostle Stan Johnson, the founder of the Prophecy Club. Welcome, Stan.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you back. Stan, and I want to do it a little different right here at the first. Do you know what's the web address of the Prophecy Club? Because you sent me a list of some great programs today, and I'm not just trying to advertise our radio programs. I want the people to listen to other good things, and you've got a bunch of them over there. And could you please tell the folks how to find them?
Well, they just go to prophecyclub.com. That's www.prophecyclub.com. You just got to spell prophecy with a C as in Charlie, and then you click on the audio files, and you go into the archives, and I think you can pull up programs going back a year or two.
Yeah, absolutely.
All sorts of stuff, all dealing with Bible prophecy.
Absolutely. And really great information. And folks, some of the guests that you'll notice, some of the guests that you've heard on our program over there and vice versa. But he's got some really good insight and some other programs over there that you really need to get over and see, especially if you're like this fellow that called and left that message with me. You wanted to know how about the end times. You need to get over there to the Prophecy Club and listen to those also check it out. Now, this program, actually, normally this is a live program we're doing. We're pre-recording it on Monday because Thursday, Stan is doing this program live, which that's when you folks will be hearing this. As you're hearing this program live, this is going to be being made into a DVD. Tell us about that, Stan.
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I'll be speaking Thursday evening. I think that's December 9th or thereabout. What am I thinking?
It'll be the 10th.
May 9th. Doors open at 6:30, and I'll be speaking from probably 7 to 10:30. And the title is Stargates, Wormholes, and the Bottomless Pit. And I think it's going to blow the head off of some people. I mean, it's really got some good information in it.
Absolutely. I got to question you on that. You said this is going to be on May 9th. I thought it was going to be on Thursday, May 10th.
Oh, well, it is Thursday. I don't have the date right in front
of me. Okay, well, then I want to correct that for the people.
Is.
Okay, I want to correct it for the people because that I know because that's when this program will be broadcast. It'll be this program, you're hearing it at 7 o'clock live on Thursday, and that's the same time that it will be done in the Prophecy Club in Topeka, Kansas, where their studio is, and that's May 10th. So, okay, if you make it to a DVD, you record it on Thursday, when will it be available for the people? Because like you said, this program will blow people away. I've seen your PowerPoint presentation on it, and it blew me away.
It's really good.
So
I mean, it's not just good, it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
God's really done a download here. Let me also say that we also have Karen Anderson in Friday the 11th, and she's going to be speaking from 7 till probably 10:30, 11, and she's talking on the astronomical book of Revelation because many things in Revelation relate to the astronomy and how the star configurations, because mm-hmm. the Bible says that God flung the stars into place with her hands. Then Saturday morning, she's going to be speaking again, same topic. She's doing like 5 DVDs. Then that afternoon, from 2 to 5, I'm going to be talking on Islam and Bible prophecy.
Really?
And then Saturday evening, from probably 9 till 10, 11, she's going to complete astronomical revelation. Then Sunday morning, from about 9 to noon, I'm going to be speaking on Joel verse by verse. So I'm going to be making 3 different titles, 3 different DVDs. She's making 1 title, 5 different DVDs, all this weekend at the Prophecy Club. And if you have questions, you can call them, 785-266-1112. But the best thing is, go to the website, download the free newsletter, prophecyclub.com.
Okay, that's the summer newsletter, prophecyclub.com. And there you go. There's another reason, folks, for you to go over there. Because not only, we live in an age that, like this fellow, we'll go back to this fellow. I hope I'm not taking up too much time, but this fellow that text me today, I'm going to tell him, not only can I give him CDs, but DVDs. We're in a watch age. People don't know what they used to read all the time, and they went from reading all the time, Stan, to then listening, and now they all want to see it,
Yep.
And so these DVDs that you make are such great importance that way because, they put it in, and you can share it with your whole family, or you can share it with a church or congregation, and that's why I'm pointing out that the Prophecy Club is so great. We don't have the capabilities to do videos, but the Prophecy Club does. So, Stan, this Prophecy Club, it is in Topeka, Kansas, right?
That's right. Right. Just go to prophecyclub.com, and it'll tell you all about it. Okay, I've got lots to say.
Let's go. Let's go.
Work.
All right, dear help. Oh, let's go. I already said the prayer. Let's go.
Okay.
I'm waiting
right.
to listen.
Okay, the first question is, how do I get started in this? Because this is a very unusual topic for a prophecy teacher to have stumbled on. I was doing another talk, and I had been researching 666 that is hidden in several logos. And I had stumbled across a logo called CERN. and it had a 666 in it, and I put that into a DVD that I had made over a year ago. And then I was listening to a couple of guys talk on a CD that somebody sent me, and they mentioned CERN, and my ears perked up, and then they said something about it's in Switzerland, and it's a large Hadron Collider, and that it was just something in passing, no more than a few words. But all of a sudden, my interest was piqued, because I thought, whoa, wait a minute, I know a little bit about this CERN here, and now they're saying something else more evil is there, so I thought I better check it out. Now, grab your seatbelt and buckle it tight, because I'm about to blow your lid off with some of the things I'm about to tell you. We, brothers and sisters, are in the last of the last days. Now, listen to this. This 17-mile tunnel is 574 feet below ground. It's completed. 33 countries combined their finances, spending $10 billion. That's a 10 with 10 zeros after it, okay? 33 countries, they used 10,000 scientists from 100 countries, and it's approximately 50% of all particle beam physicians in the world have all worked together. 608 universities, 113 nationalities. It uses 1,600 superconducting magnets. It has 8 sectors that operate at 1.9 degrees above absolute zero. In other words, this is a technological miracle. Why? Why spend $10 billion to make this big, round, underground tunnel? Why do it? Well, this is what they tell us. They want to create a clockwise and a counterclockwise circulating beam, a particle beam. In other words, they're going to get one beam going at just under light speed in a circle, and then they get another beam going the exact opposite direction, again at just under light speed, and then they cause a collision. Why? Because they want to create the God moment. It is called a Higgs boson event. They believe that this is the moment that creation happened. And this thing that does it is called a Large Hadron Collider. That's LHC. Now, the interesting part of that is LHC in Hebrew means gate. A gate to what?
Wow.
Or a gate to where? So far, they've turned the power up about 50%, and they've been very disappointed with what has happened. Now, some scientists fear, see, because they don't really know what they're doing here. They don't really know the end game. They don't know what it's going to do. They don't know the dangers of it. Some scientists fear that it could easily open a wormhole or create a black hole and destroy this entire planet. Now, I got a question for you. This is a rhetorical question. I mean, you folks out there in radio land, you just think through this. Have 10,000 scientists from 100 countries recreated an ancient Egyptian stargate or wormhole? Was the idea for movies such as Contact, Hellboy, Stargate actually birthed from their plans to build a modern-day stargate? Is their stated goal to recreate the Big Bang really a cover story for something more sinister? Could it cause earthquakes in diverse places, as the Bible prophesies, and distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for the fear for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth? And could it cause what the Bible says will happen? Every island to flee away. Scientists have built this massive collider at CERN, C-E-R-N. But, you see, CERN is not a word. What is it? Could it be that CERN, C-E-R-N, is actually short for Cernunnos, an occultic half-man, half-beast, which arises out of the earth? Will Cernunnos arise from the Hadron Collider in 2014 when they turn the power up to 100%? Will it open a gate to allow the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, or the Antichrist, as the Christians call him, to enter this world? And will he be what the Muslims call the Islamic Mahdi, or the 12th Imam? Will it allow the beast that shall ascend out of the bottomless pit to enter this world? Will it also be what allows the locusts to enter this world that sting men for 5 months like scorpions? Is the tribulation upon us? Is it about to start? That's just the start of it. How's that, Dan?
I'm wowed. Actually, you know, I looked at you. You said, look at this. I guess that one day you sent it over, and I glanced through it, and all of that one picture was in it, you know. We won't go into that. But anyway, I was just amazed, and it just hit me that, you know, this is it. And it really, I mean, I'm not one that's in fear because I love the Lord, and I know he's in control. But this thing is just flat spooky because I've been watching him talk about this machine, and I've been watching the stories about how the scientists are afraid it's going to destroy the world. And then it goes back to that. What is the black hole? I've often wondered about it. But this is like putting the pieces of a puzzle together, and it is flat spooky.
Okay, let's go into a little bit more of the background. Now that we've given a brief overview of where we're really going.
Okay.
The super collider idea actually started in Waxahachie, Texas. They actually started building a super collider that was going to be about three times bigger and three times more powerful than the one that is currently built and is functioning underneath France and Switzerland. Now, what it does is they get this plasma particle rotating about 11,000 circulations, rotations a second. That's 17-mile circle, 11,000 times a second, and then they collide this. In other words, these two particles jammed together. Now, they spent $10 billion, and of course in the presentation, I have pictures. I can show you what the underground collider looks like. I show you what their drawings are, how they have these massive pipe constructions and all of these super magnets. And I mean, we're talking about really a technological miracle. We're talking about something on the order of sending someone up in a Challenger or something like that in these rockets to Mars. And they built it underneath, 575 feet below the surface. And what they're trying to do is to make these things slam into each other so that they can look at this God moment. Now, of course, in the presentation, I have a lot of pictures, and I'm able to show you, okay, they start with the plasma particle in this smaller ring, and they get it bigger, and they get it bigger, and then they run it out to a medium-sized ring, and they run it out to a very large ring. And I explained to him exactly what happens, and this proton does a 17-mile lap at near the speed of light. They guide it by powerful magnets. It zooms through a narrow circular tunnel. Then a tiny adjustment in the magnetic field throws the proton into the path of another particle beam, and then everything goes boom, okay? This happens about 10 million times a second inside this detector. Now, you got to ask yourself a question, though. Why would 33 countries, 10,000 scientists, spend $10 billion just to slam particles into each other? It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue on. They went on to explain hadrons, and that's what they're trying to find. Hadrons are a class of subatomic particles that include protons and neutrons. When they collide, they explode into dozens of other particles. The goal is to find one subatomic particle called the Higgs boson, the most elusive speck of matter in the universe, often called the God particle. It's supposed to be the key to explaining why matter has mass. The Higgs boson theoretically has to be there, scientists say. Otherwise, the standard model of the universe collapses. And then, now get this. Now, I believe that the Internet is a future version of it, a more advanced version of it, will be what has tied together to be able to track and to monitor every purchase on earth to fulfill Revelation 13:15, so that no one can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. Now listen to this. To process all of this massive amount of data, scientists are building a worldwide meta network of PCs. In other words, you might call it the Internet too. Organized into large clusters and linked by ultra-high-speed connectors into a global virtual computing service, and is called the LHC computing grid. Remember, LHC means gate. And it could mark the evolution of the Internet from a pervasive communication network into a powerful global computation network. Now, tie some of this together. I recently interviewed Maurice Sklar. At the age of four, he began playing the violin, won numerous awards from the age of nine, and in 1985, God began to show him visions of the last days. He was kind of like David. He was a psalmist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just going to choose just a couple of paragraphs out of his many visions for the last days. I believe he is explaining the Internet too. He said, "Then the Lord said to me," okay, now this is not just a dream. This is a vision. The Lord is speaking to him audibly. He says, "This is what is shortly to take place. There is an electronic web that will encircle the earth like this. It will unite the whole world under the Antichrist system of the end time Babylon." Now, when you see Babylon, most cases in prophecy, it's referring to America. And I believe in this case, it is referring to America. That means the Internet started here in America. At first, it will bring great blessings and prosperity. It will seem like everyone is coming together and a new age is dawning for mankind. The hexagons, which is part of this net that he saw covering the earth, from each nation began to grow dark and became opaque. It looked like black smoke rose up, and one after another, each hexagon began to go smoky gray, then black. In other words, he's seeing that the Internet turns from being a good thing to a very, very bad thing. After a few seconds, I could no longer see Europe at all. Then, this began to spread rapidly across into Asia, Africa, Australia, China, America, all completely blotted out. I could only see the oceans, then the islands and the seas. All became black. Finally, the entire earth was in darkness. Even the blue oceans disappeared. I felt such evil and hopelessness. I heard the cries of millions of souls on the earth that were trapped in darkness. And by what? By the Internet. Now, let me finish this. He said, "This is the fullness of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And by the way, many times people wonder, well, how do you know that's from God? I'll tell you what, here's one of the things that tells me this is from God. You see, when it has an intelligence in it that is above human intelligence, you know that's God. You see, this next phrase I'm about to read, a typical human wouldn't know to understand, wouldn't have a global input like this. But listen what's said. "This is what Adam chose for all of mankind in the Garden of Eden instead of union and life with me. They could have eaten from the tree of life instead, and this never would have happened." That's only part of it. Now, this is all going to be linked together with an Internet, all seeking after this Higgs boson event. When you philosophically oppose an entire power elite, you cannot help but sound like a conspiracy theorist. Social power is by nature a conspiracy. A fellow by the name of Tom said that. Now, what are the dangers? According to physicist Professor Irina, and I can't even say the last name, and Dr. Igor Volovich, the LCH can easily open wormholes. Some fear that these mad scientists will accidentally create a black hole that could devour the Earth. What are the other dangers? A few of the things that didn't seem possible once, the theory of continental drift, the fact that rocks fall from the sky, the notion that the Earth revolves around the sun, and the idea that scientists could be horribly wrong. We're also wondering how often the LHC might create individual black holes, since longer-lived ones have a greater chance of merging with each other and, well, see ya. In other words, this thing could be really, really dangerous, and the scientists don't even know. What if the worst comes to pass? What if there's now a slightly greater chance that it might, at least it might explain why we've never heard from extraterrestrial civilizations, as some people believe. I don't agree with that. Maybe they built the Large Hadron Colliders of their own. In other words, maybe this thing is designed to hook up with other worlds. And I have a fellow from England here, and I'll quote a few things from him that he tells about how he thinks it's going to be very, very dangerous. Now, this particular article here is saying that it's been an utter failure so far. Well, maybe it's been a failure as far as finding the Higgs boson. Maybe it's been a failure as far as creating the God moment or the God particle. But maybe, just maybe, it's going to be a success at what they really are building it for. Could it open the bottomless pit, loosing the beast? And by the way, are demons bound? Can demons be bound? Well, let me read a couple of scriptures. Revelation 9:14, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. I'll give you another example. Revelation 22, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Then, of course, we know the next verse says, then he will be loosed for a little season. So, we do know that the Bible teaches that angels or demons can be bound and then they can be loosed. Could it be that this 17-mile, 574-foot-below-ground circle is actually built and designed to loose demons into this world? Revelation 11:3 tells about the two witnesses. You remember the story.
Let's hold that right there. We've got to go to a break in about 30 seconds or something. Why don't you give the Prophecy Club a web address, and then we'll come back and hear the rest of this in 3 minutes.
Okay, if you'd like to have a copy of Stargate and Bottomless Pit, and Stargate, Wormholes, and Bottomless Pit, you would go to prophecyclub.com. PROPHECY.com. Prophecyclub.com.
Folks, and if you've been amazed by the first half of this program, can you imagine seeing this with all the slides and everything? I couldn't wait. That's why I'm going to be watching this. As you hear this, I'm going to be watching this DVD being made. And this is one I think you need to share with everybody. Anyway, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more of Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club, and we'll be right back.
Going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, I would ask that you consider a donation tonight for the Father's Mission Church in Wichita, Kansas. And I said yes to Father's because it doesn't belong to our ministry. It belongs to God the Father. Anyway, donations are at that summertime slump already, which leaves us counting on every cent that comes in. Any size donation would help, so please pray about it. Anyway, you can donate online by PayPal or send us a check or money order. Just go to prophecyhour.com for that information. If you need to, you can call also for that information. The phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. Or you can email me from the website, or again, you can even call my cell phone, which is 316-619-4886. If you want a mail donation to you, a thank you note when donating on, okay, if you want a mail thank you note to you, like coming in the mail, it's not a receipt, but it's a thank you note, because we are not a 501c, we are a church. But we'll mail you a thank you note if you point it out when you donate online that you want one. Most people don't. Make sure you point it out, and then one will be sent. All donations that come in the mail automatically get a thank you note for your records, and yes, you can use it in taxes if need be. Excuse me. Now we're back with Apostle Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club. Are you there with us, Stan?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, tell them the name of this, what we're talking about.
Okay, the name of this DVD is going to be Stargates, Wormholes, and the Bottomless Pit. You want me to pick up from where I were?
Yes, sir. I'm in suspense. I want to hear it.
Okay. Let's go back to Revelation 11:3, and we're talking about the bottomless pit. In other words, the question here is, what if this 17-mile, $10 billion experiment is not to just make the God particle or the Big Bang? What if it's really designed to be a Stargate? Or a black hole, or a wormhole, or something that can open up a spiritual door to another world. Now, let's look at what the Bible says. Does the Bible give us any kind of a hint? Revelation 11:3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They'll prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, skipping several verses. Now let's go down to verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Did you hear what I just said? It says, the Bible says, that these two witnesses are going to prophesy for 3.5 years, and the way they die is from the guy that comes out of the bottomless pit. Now, what comes out of the bottomless pit? What is in the bottomless pit? And the answer is departed souls. Okay, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit kills the two witnesses. That's not a joke, okay? Now, how is the bottomless pit opened up? Revelation 9:1 says that the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, I had always thought that the angel opens up a giant crack in the earth, and that may very well be. Maybe this big circle over in France and Switzerland will have nothing to do with opening up a crack in the surface of the earth. Or maybe that's exactly how it is opened. You see, it can possibly, the scientists at least fear that it may create a black hole or create a wormhole or actually be a stargate. Now, let me go back. It says the fifth angel was given a key. He opened the bottomless pit, and what comes out of the bottomless pit? It says, out of the smoke came locusts of the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, what does that mean? It goes on to say that they sting men like scorpions, all of the ones that do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, and they sting them for 5 months. What if the way the bottomless pit is opened up is not by the angel opening up the surface of the earth, and that may very well be it. But what if it's really the Large Hadron Collider, the LHC, whose initials in Hebrew mean gate? What if this angel actually allows mankind to open the bottomless pit? What if that is the way the bottomless pit is opened? Revelation 9:1 says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and it was given him a bottomless pit, the key to open the bottomless pit. Could this be the key? Could this be the way the locusts enter in to begin stinging men all over? Revelation 9:6 goes on to say, and in those days shall men seek death. In other words, they want to die. They seek death and shall not find it. They desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The shapes of the locusts were likened unto horses prepared unto battle. On their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of woman, teeth as the teeth of lions. What if at CERN, which may be short for Cernunnos, we'll get into that more in just a moment, which is a half man, half demon, what if they named it for exactly what they plan to do? What if this is a stargate, except for it's not a gate to stars, it's a gate to demons? They might not even know, but maybe, just maybe, they do know. Yeah, that's right. Maybe they do know. Now, let me tie this together with what might come out of that gate. The 12th Imam, or the Mahdi, as the Muslims call it, has a name. He's a person, a real flesh and blood person called Muhammad ibn Hassan ibn Ali, born in Iraq in 868, chosen by Allah to lead the world. At 86, it is believed that he fell into a well and that he will arise from that well. Now, what's a well? Well, it's a hole in the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, that just went like snap. Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, we'll rise from the well to be the 12th Imam or the Mahdi. Now, when will he arise? Well, it even prophesies that. It says, when the last pages of history are being written in blood and fire. Wow, that sounds like we're almost on it now. It goes on to say, in a time of chaos, carnage, and confusion, and a time when infidels, especially Christians and Jews, must be converted or destroyed. Wow. And they go on to give a definition I heard the other day. Radical, a radical Muslim is someone that thinks that infidels must be killed now. Moderate means that all infidels must be killed when the Mahdi appears.
Right.
In other words, if you're radical, they think we ought to be killed now. If the Muslim is moderate, well, we'll give them a little time, but we still ought to kill them all. Now, back to the arise from the well.
The well pit, yeah.
That's right. The beast from the pit. He will arise from the well, possibly. You see, he fell in Iraq. He might arise back from Iraq, but what if he doesn't? What if he comes out of this collider? Says he's going to conquer Jerusalem. He returns in great power and glory. In hellfire, the Mahdi will return when Jesus returns, and the Imams have some predictions for this guy. They say that he will appear suddenly near the end of Mecca. He will be descended from Muhammad. He will stutter. He will shine like an Israelite, unite and reform the Muslims. He'll have a mole on his left or right cheek. His eyebrows will mix. Now let's head on to another topic. Could it be that the idea for this collider is not exactly a new idea at all? What if ancient Egyptians, probably talking to fallen angels, remember, and I know you may be thinking, well, hey, you know, that can't, go read Genesis 6:4. The sons of God came down and mated with the daughters of men, and their offspring were giants in the land in those days. So could it be that when these sons of God came down, they showed them how to do things like build a stargate? You see, many people believe that the Tower of Babel was actually a stargate to talk to the gods, because it wasn't supposed to be building a tower that was really, really, really tall to reach the stars.
Right.
It was building like some kind of a communication device, or maybe even a stargate. Maybe these things we see on the movies and on TV that are supposed to be science fiction, they're not always science fiction. Sometimes they're fiction based upon fact. So, did you know that according to William Henry, the ancient object called Tawer is an Osiris device, was actually a stargate machine. Of course, if you get the DVD, I've got a picture of the hieroglyph here, and it looks like a boat, except on both ends it has, all right, when I was a boy, oh, I don't want to, here's the best way to explain it. It looks like a giant tuba on both ends of it. Well, I show you pictures of what a wormhole looks like, and then a tuba, and you see the wormhole, you put two tubas back to back, and it looks exactly like a wormhole. In other words, they have a drawing of how a stargate, or how a wormhole, same thing, stargate, wormhole, same thing, on the side of a pyramid. What are we doing with something like a stargate that is designed on the side of a pyramid? It went on to say that they believed it was used by Seth and Osiris to travel across the underworld. What if the sons of God, when they came down and mated with the daughters of men, maybe they didn't just mate with the women. Maybe they showed them all sorts of advanced things they had no business in knowing, and maybe they started corrupting the DNA, and that's the real reason God destroyed people back in the flood. Well, of course, in the DVD, I show you several of these drawings. There's more than one of these stargates that they found in pyramids.
Right.
And I explain this here. Then we talk about time travel and the...
Let me butt in for just
okay.
one moment. I want to put this out. You're talking about this wormhole. You know, it's just a matter of coincidence, I guess. Yesterday, they had just released, it was either yesterday or might have been Sunday, they released a picture that the scientists have now of a wormhole that was thousands of years ago, but they just now got the picture of it. You know how that works. And that's what it looks like. It shows it devouring a star, and it's long and skinny, and on both ends, it's just exactly what you described. And that's just really amazing.
Well, my understanding is that a black hole is basically a hole in space that sucks in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the stargate and a wormhole is like putting two tubas back to back where you have these, you know, what a tuba looks like. I don't know how to explain it on radio other than that.
Well, and this wormhole picture looks like that.
Yes. And a wormhole, when it's turned on, can actually, apparently, some people claim that it can begin to suck things into it. Now, let's tie this together.
Go ahead.
But because some people may be saying, oh, man, Stan, you've stepped off the deep end now. You know, I've heard some crazy things from you, but this has got to take the tape. Well, let me just throw one more piece of interesting information here that you might have to say, maybe there's something to this. Dan, have you ever heard of the Eldridge?
The Eldridge.
It was involved in the Philadelphia experiment.
Oh, yeah, sure,
yeah, there you go. Okay, the story on it is this. October 28, 1943, our government had already done several experiments with smaller devices. Their objective was to try to make something disappear or to be invisible to the eye and invisible to radar. And they had been successful, and so they decided that they were going to try it on a larger device. And they put these big Tesla coils on the USS Eldridge, turned it on October 28, 1943. And the first experiment was pretty successful. Several people said that the whole boat just disappeared. It just up and disappeared right in front of them. But then they tried it again a second time. Now, here's what happened. Yes, it did render the boat invisible or kind of cloaked to enemy devices. However, I want to say right up front, the U.S. Navy totally denies this ever occurred, okay? However, this experiment was allegedly based on the aspect of the unified field theory, I'm reading here, a term coined by Albert Einstein. The unified theory, field theory aims to describe mathematically and physically the interrelated nature of the forces that comprise, here it is, electromagnetic radiation and gravity. Researchers thought that this unified field theory would enable large electrical generated magnetism to bend light around an object so that it becomes invisible. It's still there, but it bends the light around the object. In 1943, it was supposedly successful to a limited degree. It became almost completely invisible. But then some witnesses reported a greenish fog appearing in its place. Crew members supposedly complained of severe nausea afterwards. Some sailors, when they turned the machine off, were embedded in metal structures in the ship. Then they became invisible and physically vanished from the area in a flash of blue light, teleported to Norfolk, Virginia, over 200 miles away. And some claimed that the Eldridge sat in Norfolk, Virginia, for some time in full view of men on board the ship, whereupon the Eldridge then vanished from their sight, reappeared back out in the sea where they were conducting this experiment. It's also said that the warship traveled back in time for about 10 seconds. Now, here's where it gets interesting.
Oh, really? That was... Okay,
yeah, that's only the background.
Okay, go ahead.
Of course, Prophecy Club in 1999 was going and a-blowing. We were having meetings in about 40 cities a month. We were in 80 radio stations, 25 TV stations. And so I was getting a lot of people calling and wanting to be a guest on the program.
Right.
And this guy by the name of Al Balick called me. Do you know that name?
It doesn't strike me as familiar, but
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, if you do some Google, a little bit of research, you'll find out he's right in the thick of all of this. Well, he called me in 1999, wanted to be on the Prophecy Club, and he said, this is his story he told me, and in some ways I sort of believe it. I mean, I would really like to know the truth. Here's what he told me. He said that he was on the Eldridge
really?
In 1943. He said that he freaked out. Everybody on the ship freaked out. He said he didn't know what to do. He said so he ran over. He saw that they weren't too far from this island, and he thought he could swim to the island. He ran over and just jumped off the ship, and he jumped into the water. He said, and I was expecting to hit the water, but I just kept falling and falling and falling and falling and falling and falling. He said, I fell for a long time. He said, and then suddenly I hit the floor. And I looked up, and I was surrounded in this room by these people with all these electronics. And I landed to discovered that I had landed in Montauk, New York. The date, August 12, 1983. Now, let me back up. He jumped off of a boat, the Eldridge, in 1943. He landed in Montauk, New York, August 12, 1983. And the people were freaked out. They said, no, you have to go back. You have to go back because that experiment has gone wrong. We need you to go back. He said, I can't go back. I'm not going back. And they said, no, you have to go back. You have to go back and shut it off. Shut it off. How do I shut it off? I don't know how to shut it off. He said, find an axe and start cutting wires or something. You got to go shut that thing down. Get back in there. I can't go back. He said, yes, you can. He said, we can send you any place on the globe at any point in time we want to. We're going to send you right back on that ship on that same day and time. He said, and you, that's an order, son. He said, you get on there and you shut that thing down. You've got to shut that thing down. He said, so they sent me back on there, and he said, I found a big axe, and he said, I started whacking and cutting. He said, there's a lot of sketchy things to his talk there.
Right.
And I can't guarantee that what he told is accurate, But since we're talking about $10 billion to make a Higgs boson, I don't believe it. I don't believe that 33 nations spent $10 billion just to see a God particle.
Right.
I think that there's something else to it. And it may very well be that these folks have conducted all kinds of secret, hidden experiments, and what they're really doing has to do with opening a door, a gate into another world. What do you think? Interesting so far?
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat. Yes, I'm real. That was an amazing testimony. What was his name again? Al Bielek?
Al Bielek. You spell his last name B-I-E-L-E-K. Al Bielek.
Wow.
Now, that's slide 90 out of 181. So I'm not even halfway through.
You're not even halfway through.
Matter of fact, if we have time, I really want to get through this next
thing. Okay, we have. You have 5 minutes of talk time.
Oh, okay. All right.
So go ahead.
I'll try to get through this. Now, let me just say, folks, that Lindsay Williams was told by the ruling elite that they think it is ungentlemanly, it's bad sportsmanship, to do something to the masses without first warning them. They want they're gentlemen. They may be evil, but they're gentlemen.
Hmm.
And their choice of warning is through media, television, movies, and the like. Often, movies are fiction based upon fact. Okay, if that's true, then Revolution Studios, if you'll go and look, of course, it's too bad you don't have the DVD to see what I'm talking about, but it's a circle within a circle within a circle, and these circles rotate in various ways. If you've seen the movie Hellboy, here's what happened. In the final days of World War II, the Nazis attempted to use black magic to aid their dying cause. It wasn't black magic. It was a Stargate. The Allies raid the camp where this ceremony is taking place, but not before a demon, Hellboy, has already been conjured. In other words, this movie tells us they have a Stargate and some kind of a hellion, a demon, comes out of that Stargate. And of course, if you get the DVD, I have pictures of all of this, and I have pictures of the Stargate,
right,
how they pull through here. I mean, it shows this guy getting sucked into the Stargate. Same thing with Contact. If you'll go rent the movie Contact, you see that they're talking about making a sphere, in other words, a ring, like a wedding ring, a giant one, spin. One is, say, east-west, one is north-south, and they're rotating, and this creates some kind of a Stargate, and things go into it. Things come out of it. Same way with Stargate SG-1 on movies. You see them, they have this big ring within a ring, and it rotates around, and then all of a sudden, there's this gate, and you can walk through it, and you're on another planet. They are telling us that magnetism plus energy can create a Stargate, or some kind of a wormhole, or something we don't know. And again, in here in the DVD, I have all of these pictures. And
let me add this to this. You were talking about all the different programs. Now, you should know this program. I'm not going to reveal your age or mine, ha-ha. Anyway, remember the time tunnel?
I guess I do.
And that's the same way it was. It was a spinning thing, of a bunch of different rings of different colors, and they went into it and came out on the other side and vice versa, traveled back and forth.
I will have to see if I can find that. Yeah, I do. Now that you mention that, I do remember that.
Yeah, time tunnel. That was really fascinating. This is really fascinating. You still got about, use up about four, at least about
okay.
4 minutes.
All right,
minutes.
Let's jump on to the next thing then. CERN, C-E-R-N. What does it mean? Now, here again, you lack by not having the DVD, but I've got a picture of the statue in front of CERN, and it is actually a picture of Shiva. This is the Hindu goddess, and as you look at that, it looks just like a Stargate, and it's got a demon coming out of the Stargate. And I show you all these pictures, then I show you the CERN, I show you the 666. I mean, running out of time, running out of thing.
Well, let me say something about Shiva. Just about 2 months ago. Now, here we go. Coincidence? I don't believe in them. My son went for spring break. My 17-year-old had left for spring break, so we decided to take our 11-year-old to the old downtown museum that they had just opened up. And I was really fascinated in this one section. And my son pointed out to me, he said, well, Dad, what's this goddess or god? What is this? And it was a picture of, it was a little statue of Shiva, just like you say. And it was inside of a circle. And it was, it said, right, the goddess of the dance. And, but it was in the circle, which, you know, you're describing as a stargate.
Exactly.
And so now I know exactly what you're talking about, and it is just simply amazing, folks.
Okay, now let me tell you about a Cernunnos. That's Cernunnos, Cernunnos. Now this Cernunnos has, and it goes into describing several things about it, which I'm going to skip. But the interesting part of it is it's supposed to be half man, half animal. Or in this case, like Jesus was half man, half God, we believe the Antichrist is going to be half man, half fallen angel, or half demon. Okay.
Right.
And this Cernunnos, this is their writing, it's not mine, they believe that he is the old God that sleeps down in the dark. Where is the LHC? Where did they build this collider? Down 574 feet underground. Down in the dark, moist, odorous underfoot, waiting for us to put down our roots, so that he can emerge into this world.
Wow. This is a fantastic talk, folks. You've got to see the DVD. You need to get the DVD. You need to, if nothing else, you need to get a CD and pass around. Stan, we're running out of time, so tell them about the Prophecy Club, where you can get it at and all that, and I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Let me just say, brothers and sisters, I think this may potentially be something really important for you to have. And you want to have the DVD because I believe soon you're not going to have access to the Internet.
Absolutely.
It's called Stargates, Wormholes, and the Bottomless Pit. You can get it. Go on to prophecyclub.com, or call 785-266-1112. Stargates, Wormholes, and the Bottomless Pit. 785-266-1112, prophecyclub.com, and be sure and send a big old donation to Dan. He really helps those homeless people. God will bless you for it. If you give to the poor, then God is obligated to repay.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Stan, and I just want to throw in here, folks, that if when you, after you hear this, after when you hear it live, an hour later, it will be on the podcast site. Share this program with others so that they can get this DVD. This is one of the most important programs I believe that we've did in a long time. It's just really got me on the edge of my seat. Well, Stan, I'm going to have to go by. I'm going to say goodbye and shalom to you, and then I got to say goodbye to the people. So we'll see you Thursday, which to you folks is already Thursday. All right, bye-bye.
God bless.
Okay, we must remember that there is only one God. He is the Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through him is the only way to the Father. Remember, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. So, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.